All right, thanks for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40. That means we check in with our friends at SailSportTalk.com. And joining me in studio, great to see her again, Patty Mangan. How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great, Rick. And you?
And I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking. You are a member of the South Beach Yacht Club, which is adjacent to now called Oracle Park, where the Giants play in China Basin, and then Willie McCovey Cove around the corner.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on over there.
Well, it's nearly March. Everyone's getting excited about the new season coming up. And what it brought up for me is how our club is nestled underneath the glove, literally maybe 400 feet from the stadium. And we regularly have our members go out on their boats to watch the game from McCovey Cove. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to understand that the stadium is so high, there's no way to see in the stadium.
Right.
But the big screen does afford, if you anchor yourself in the right place.
Hence the term anchor.
Yes. If you anchor and if the current is going your way and doesn't spin on you, you can watch the board. And of course, you can hear. You know what's happening. You can hear the sounds from the baseball stadium. So you know when there's a groan and when there's a hurrah.
So I know that McCovey Cove can get very, very crowded, especially like during the World Series.
Yeah.
And I remember the All-Star game as well. And mm-hmm. then they have these Portuguese water dogs that go in. There's guys in kayaks who go out there and they just wait for a splash hit, which probably happens once every, I don't know, 8 games.
Right.
And so it's a dedication, isn't it?
It's a passion. Those guys are out there game after game hoping for a splash hit. And hoping amongst the 4 or 5 of them that they're the ones that are the closest to the actual splash. And my cousin actually has been one of those guys.
Really?
Just really committed to this possibility and then the thrill of getting the ball.
So maybe this is too personal a question, but when you have a slip in a place like that in one of the great cities of the world, I can only imagine it's probably not cheap, is it?
It's all based on the length of your boat.
Okay.
All right. So if you can think of the stadium, if you can think of the marina, South Beach Harbor, there are, I think, 7 docks. Basically, 700 boats in there. And that's lined
700?
Up. 700? 700.
Wow, it didn't seem like that many.
It doesn't. But each dock has different lengths.
Mm-hmm.
So for the smaller boats, which are on the south side,
mm-hmm.
I always tell people who are prospective members of the club, if you look at the harbor from the point of view of the yacht club, from the deck overlooking, that it's like the Monopoly board. You've got Broadway over here.
Where's Marvin's Gardens?
Marvin's Gardens right there. St. Vincent's is right over here.
Okay.
All right. So just to give the general feel of, okay, this is less expensive because it's a smaller boat.
Wow.
The bigger your boat is, the more expensive it is.
And there's a, click if I'm wrong, there's a man-made cement breakwater.
Yes.
As well. I'm always interested in some of those big places. Of course, you got to go inboard motor, but that these boats aren't bumping into each other. Because even when I'm like on the San Pablo Dam and I'm on a pontoon uh-huh. boat, which drives like a car,
yeah.
you're still going to have some drift now and then.
Oh, yeah. Well, not within the harbor.
Okay.
I mean, you pull into your slip like a parking spot. You mm-hmm. tie up. You tie up the mm-hmm. bow. You tie up the side.
How many people do you think live on their boats?
Very few. There's live aboards are not really... pretty much it's hard to do a live aboard in the bay. There's only a few marinas that are really known for it.
Is it legal?
And then again, I think there's capacity. Like there's a percentage that is allowed, and then it's a matter of how is that managed. But it's legal to a percentage.
So was having the Giants build a park there the best thing that ever happened to the yacht club, or in a way, making it more crowded, maybe not that great?
Well, actually, it's very interesting because of that. Okay, the yacht club was in a double wide on Pier 40.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah. And it faced south, overlooking the harbor
mm-hmm.
and the guest dock where you know, guests come up and mm-hmm. get on a boat. And the development meant some negotiation. I wasn't part of it, but that the harbor master got a new office because they too were in a double wide overlooking the marina. Mm-hmm. And I think the marina started in 1988. And so there was some development money and that came because of it. And it's like, if you're going to build this, then we want this. And that happened. And so we're in a beautiful, beautiful space. It's only, 15 years old, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to come to the Yacht Club.
I would love to go. I know you got me in for Sail GP over at St. Francis.
Yeah.
Which is over by the Golden Gate Bridge for people who are trying to think of where it is. And it's funny, when the Giants first moved in 2000, and I'll walk from here. It's about a 45-minute walk to the stadium along the Embarcadero. And then I would stop at Red's Java House.
Yes.
And back then, it was a hamburger and a bottle of Bud for $5. Now, it would probably be like $27.
No. No. In fact, I was going along the Embarcadero and looked at a combo beer and hot dog sign and went, and it was really reasonable.
Okay.
So they know how to move.
Although I don't really, and maybe I shouldn't say this, I should only say positive things. The people who took over the place that's directly across from you, what's that called?
Are you talking right there at Pier 40? Kind of a
It's just literally across the grass from where you guys are.
Yeah, blue and white.
Yeah. kind of smug. Not fans. The two bartenders, when we had the, anyway, it's just impressions. There were two bartenders serving people, and they moved 1 mile per hour.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know. I just didn't really care for them. I'd rather go to Red's. That's or maybe even the High Dive. Have you been to the High Dive?
And the High Dive. It's amazing, right?
Oh, I've been there. No, I like the High Dive.
Yeah.
They're actually friendly there.
They're friendly. They know they're going to get slammed. They have they're prepared for it. Attitude is right. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows you can't hear yourself think. You're going to have to yell through the whole thing.
There's just that, it's kind of like Red's, that small little outside area what you have there.
Now, there's this whole energy around the ballpark. You know, and back to the Yacht Club. I'm a season ticket holder, so I'm inside.
Nice.
The
Where do you sit?
I'm lower box, 122, behind the dugout.
Wow, what row?
My goodness, 35.
Okay. Do you have overhang in case it rains?
I do. I have overhang.
That's nice.
I have a screen. I have a TV screen. I can crank my head up and look at the replay.
Great.
My father had the foresight to, he was paying attention. I was young and not paying any attention. And one Christmas before he presented me, he went out to the car for Christmas. That's what he'd do. He'd go out to the car, to the trunk, and come back in.
Really?
And he presented me a box, and in the box was a glove.
Wow, some people have a Christmas tree. You have a trunk.
My dad does. And pulls out this envelope and he hands me a glove.
Uh-huh. Sweet.
Or maybe it was a ball. And then, and this envelope, it was very sweet. And I opened up and it was, what do you call it again now? Charter seats.
Wow.
Charter seats. And they, at that time, they had done a digital, what is your seat view going to look like?
And
he had spent the time and he picked the most amazing seats. Everybody loves my seats.
That's great. It's funny because I have almost the same story with my dad. When he got Raiders season tickets in the early 70s at the Coliseum, he went there on a day where you had to look yourself. And so we were in 128 in the north end zone, but he wanted to sit where he had the overhang just in case it rained. But he wanted to be able to see the scoreboard because if you go up too high, now you have to like lean over. And he found that row 26 was exactly where the scoreboard, you could just start to see it, but he planned it that way.
Sweet spot.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Our dad's looking out for us.
Yeah. Is your dad also Raul Mangan?
Raul? No, John. Your father's Raul?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
So do you have a boat right now in one of the slips, or are you just a member of the yacht club?
My boat is in Santa Barbara. So I'm from Santa Barbara, and my sister and my father and I, again, my father having the foresight, he was on the waiting list for over 20 something years. And one day he called my sister and I and said, hey, we've got a slip. We have to have a boat in the slip in within the next 60 days.
Wow.
This is what I'm looking at. So Catalina 34.
In Santa Barbara.
In Santa Barbara. Mm. But.
And you grew up there.
I grew up there, yeah.
Wow. So did Katy Perry, by the way.
Oh, really?
And I played football against Santa Barbara in 1986, and we stayed at the Motel 6 in Goleta.
Yes, I know it.
Okay. Yeah, go Gauchos. Are you also a Gaucho?
No, I was. I was at Bishop Diego. So we played teams further south. I don't remember ever going north. Yeah.
How about college then?
College Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Maybe you were in the Marines or the Taliban or something. You didn't go to college, but you did. So I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I was.
So who sails? Your sister? Does she have the boat? Who sails the boat?
All three of us.
Oh. Yeah. But you still have your dad with you?
I have my what?
Your dad is still alive.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's great. That's tremendous.
We just celebrated his 91st birthday.
That's tremendous.
In January.
Wow.
And,
how great.
Yeah, he's not at the helm nowadays, but he loves it. Him and I have some of our deepest conversations on the boat, where we just really relax and really is, you know, going back in time, mm-hmm. and talking about moments and I'm just gathering all of those for forever. Mm-hmm.
So before we let you go, the South Beach Yacht Club here in San Francisco, how do we join? Can we join? Is there an interview process? How does it all work?
Oh, yeah, it is. If you have to have an active interest in boating, if you have a boat, that's great. But if you're taking sailing lessons, you're investing time in becoming a boater, power boater, or mm-hmm. and you're interested in volunteerism, we're totally a volunteer-run club. We only have two contracted individuals. Hmm. The rest, when I'm bartending, you know, or
it's like a co-op.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Completely. Maintenance and everything. So, membership. Yes, you do go through an interview process. And you do have to find sponsors within the club. But it's a very friendly club, and it's we're interested in developing relationships and helping our club thrive.
Well, couldn't it be in a better location, too, especially during the summer?
It's a gem.
Yeah.
It's a gem. We have sunshine when the Golden Gate is fogged up.
It's great. SailSportTalk.com. Patty Mangan in person here in downtown San Francisco. Thanks for coming in.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.